Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that discusses current political, social, economic, prophetic events in the light of Scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, the pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. This week, there were riots and protests across the country in response to the murder of George Floyd. You know the story. That will not be the topic for this week's program, but I would like to address a broader issue that is very much related, a spiritual lesson that encompasses all that we're seeing on the news. But let me begin with this observation. The George Floyd riots, the COVID lockdowns, the resistance movement to oppose and remove President Trump are all related. Now, from a conspiratorial point of view, there are agitators who want to see our country in chaos. They want to see economic decline for political reasons. There are operatives who want everything to look bad during the presidency of Donald Trump. 4 years ago, they told us this was their plan to resist Trump at all costs. Now, logically, that is not a good strategy, but hatred is never logical. But even though there may be an element of truth in this conspiracy, I believe the reason for our troubles is much broader. It's simply the spirit of lawlessness that is driving all of these events. The COVID lockdowns are lawless governors. The resistance movement against the president is the lawless media and lawless political activists. And the riots are lawless citizens. Thieves and thugs who take advantage of political situations. Even President Obama called these looters during protests thugs and criminals. And these lawless governors are getting a taste of their own lawlessness. When you enact policies that put 40 million people out of work, and you extend unemployment and send bonus checks out to everyone, this creates an incendiary situation. When lawlessness infects every aspect of the culture, there is deconstruction of civil society. And without the Christian worldview dominating the culture, there is no reason for people to behave uprightly. And hence, everything begins to collapse. People often don't appreciate the benefits of Christian truth and Christian people. At any given time in society, vast numbers of people are unsaved and unprincipled. There is always a criminal and a violent element. But when a society abandons God, that element grows, becomes a critical mass, and eventually explodes. Another way of describing the current situation is with two biblical words, dissension and strife. Both of those words are listed in Galatians chapter 5, verse 20. As the natural fruit of the sinful flesh. In Romans 1:29, those who do not acknowledge God have depraved minds, and they're filled with all unrighteousness and wickedness, greed, envy, full of envy, murder, and strife. And there are people of strife and dissension. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 19, he who loves transgressions loves strife. Proverbs 29:22. An angry man stirs up strife, and a hot-tempered man abounds in transgressions. And Romans 16:17. Now I urge you, brethren, keep your eye on those who cause dissensions. So that addresses many of the causes for our social decline. But I'd like to talk about the decline itself. And I've entitled this program, Gone with the Wind. That novel and movie was about the quick disappearance of the wealth and the social status in the antebellum South. Antebellum is Latin for before the war. And the Civil War wiped out the Southern aristocracy. These people with wealth and leisure and plantations, it was all gone with the wind. Florence, Italy, in 1348... was the epitome of wealth and European culture, and then came the Black Death. In 1 year, 60% of the city died, and everything these people lived for and glorified was God. Revelation 18:8. For this reason, in one day her plagues will come, and I'll get to that text in a moment. But let me first describe what's happening in New York City. This is an underreported story, but the city is devastated financially. Tourism in New York City accounts for 250 million people visiting the city every year. And that generates $108 billion in revenue. But it's all gone. Nobody wants to visit New York City. The lure of seeing these tall buildings and the culture disappeared overnight. And with it, all the money people made over people wanting to see these things. The restaurants are all closed. One of the biggest attractions of the city was the dining. It's gone. Nobody needs to eat the dishes made in New York City. The theater, the plays, the concerts, they're all gone. Nobody wants to come into the city and see these actors and musicians. These people are not really needed at all. As these governors call it, they're unessential. Revelation chapter 18, verse 22, and the sound of the harpist and the musicians and flute players and trumpeters will not be heard in you any longer. And the rich have fled the city for their second homes. They don't need to live in New York City. I have a friend who's a concierge for a luxury skyscraper, and just about all the residents have left town. They really don't need to live and work in New York City. It can all be done remotely. And most of the businesses in New York City are paperwork businesses. They really don't need to be in New York City to operate. They're only there for the personal business contacts. But if that's gone, why stay in New York and pay high taxes and put up with the traffic and the crime and the lousy commute? Revelation 18:11, and the merchants of the earth weep and mourn over her because no one buys their cargo anymore. And with the main businesses shutting down, gone are all the support businesses. The dry cleaners, the office supply stores, the caterers, the janitors, the maids, they're no longer needed. And regular middle manager office workers who spend 2 hours a day enduring a terrible commute into the city are now asking themselves, why am I suffering to go into Manhattan? There are plenty of nicer, less expensive places to work. And with the United Nations being in New York City, diplomats, with their money they pour into the city, have all left. Here's an article. New York City real estate market tax revenue is getting crushed as people don't pay rent. Quote, residents have fled their homes in the city to stay elsewhere. Many businesses simply haven't made their payments. When commercial landlord says 80% of their retail tenants miss rent payments in April and May. On Wednesday, Real Estate Weekly noted, the Real Estate Board of New York reported that tax revenues generated from investment and residential sales in New York City and New York State decreased by 48% from April 2019 to April 2020. And 64% from March of 2020 to April of 2020. The president of the Real Estate Board of New York said on Wednesday, this dramatic loss in tax revenue is alarming. The real estate sector is the city's economic engine. Pandemic has caused that engine to stall, and we should expect such alarming trends to carry through May and June in the best case scenario. The executive director for the Community Housing Improvement Project so that there are hundreds of buildings in New York City operating at a loss because of COVID-19, and many of them will not be able to survive another month without help. If officials do not immediately target relief to lower-income renters and small owners who have mounting monthly expenses, they will not be able to reverse the damage this crisis will have on our city. So, do you think the city of New York or the state of New York can just give out checks to these people and everything's going to get better? No, that would actually make things even worse, bankrupting the city, causing runaway inflation. The article goes on, the number of new leases signed in April also cratered, reaching the lowest level since the Great Recession. Leasing declined 71% year over year in April for Manhattan. Brooklyn experienced a 69% year over year drop in new leases. Vornado, one of the city's biggest landlords, revealed 80% of its retail tenants did not pay rent in April and May. And Empire Realty Trust said 25% of its office tenants skipped out on rent. Well, imagine that. Real estate values plummet overnight because, in reality, real estate value is fiction. That $2 million condo that you spent the last 30 years making payments on could be worth $50,000 in just 1 week. It could actually be worth nothing if a terrorist set off a dirty bomb in New York City, spreading radioactive material that could take decades to decay. New York City could look like the Russian city of Chernobyl, a depopulated empty shell. Then what would happen to all those people who have their wealth in real estate? You know, it's really amazing how people who think they sit at the top of the world in New York City, who glory in their immorality and in their riches, are probably living in the most vulnerable place on earth. A city with a big bullseye on it. Remember the cabbie medallions? Only so many cabs could be in the city. And you had to have a city-issued medallion to operate a cab. Well, pretty soon those medallions became worth millions. And many cabbies took out big mortgages to buy those medallions, this right to operate a cab. And many cabbies were hoping to someday sell those medallions to fund their retirement. Well, along came Uber and Lyft, and private individuals could get into the transportation business. And these medallions lost all their value. Technology destroyed the old way we used to get rides. In a moment, it was all gone, gone with the wind. And one little virus comes along, and who wants to ride in a contaminated cab? Or on a billion-dollar subway system? Who wants to buy anything in the city? And now in the city, there's protesting and looting. So Revelation chapter 18, verse 16, woe, woe to the great city. She who was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in 1 hour such great wealth has been laid waste. Everything we spend a lifetime working for can be gone in the twinkling of an eye. Now, of course, it'll all be gone when you die. But often God forewarns us of this coming loss while we're still clinging to life, which is an additional heads up that this world is passing away. Judgment Day is coming. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. The day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all of these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? How should the temporal nature of this world cause us to not be attached to this world, to turn to God? You might think that you have many goods laid up for many years to come. You have your investments, you have your 401k, you even have your Social Security for your security. But God says, you fool, this very night your soul is required of you, and now who will own what you have prepared? Luke chapter 12. So a big lesson in this COVID-19 pandemic is that everything people live for can be gone with the wind in a moment. The world is passing away. And although I make a reference here to New York City, this pandemic is reinforcing this lesson in many cities, in many homes around the world. We're not hearing this lesson or this story from the media or politicians, our social leaders either don't see or don't want to admit how bad this really is. The federal government was already borrowing 25 cents on the dollar to keep the government gravy train going. But now 40 million Americans are unemployed. And that not only means less tax revenues, it also means huge payouts in unemployment. And people still seem to think everything's going to return to normal in a few weeks. That the government's going to fix everything. That the financial minds will keep the economy going. But don't be so sure. After the 1929 stock market crash, everyone thought it would go back to normal really soon. Little did they know that they were in for the Great Depression. Now, the text I referred to a few times is Revelation chapter 18. This description of the fall of Babylon the Great, about the fall of some future great city that controls the world, or a reference to the fall of many cities in the future. When the text begins, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great," is it speaking about the literal city of Babylon in Iraq? Probably not. Every student of the Bible knows that Babylon was the first city of man, Genesis chapter 11, and it became a prototype of all cities thereafter. The Apostle Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 5 that he's in Babylon. He's probably not in Iraq, but in Rome, the capital of the Roman Empire, because all of these early Christians knew that Rome was the new face of ancient Babylon, the city of man. So Revelation 18 describes the fall of Babylon, but it's not just about the final destruction of the empire of the Antichrist. It represents the fall of many cities, many countries throughout history. The biblical book of Revelation is not just for some future generations. It contains truths that are to be applied in every generation. Every generation needs to be reminded of the coming fall of its current Babylon, its current world system, its current cities. In fact, the language used in Revelation chapter 18 comes from many Old Testament texts that describe the destruction of Assyria, the destruction of Jerusalem, Egypt, Persia, Babylon, Tyre. What we see in Scripture is double fulfillment of prophecy. The prophets would give prophecies about the immediate destruction of some ancient city or nation, but those judgments always pointed to a second greater final day of judgment, which is described in Revelation chapter 18. And Revelation chapter 18 brings together many references to smaller ancient judgments. For example, Revelation chapter 18 verse 2, "And he cried out with a mighty voice, saying, Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great." That is from Isaiah chapter 21 verse 9. "Now behold, here comes a troop of riders, horsemen in pairs, and one says, Fallen, fallen is Babylon, and all the images of her gods are shattered to the ground." Speaking about the destruction of ancient Babylon in the 6th century BC. Or Revelation chapter 18, verse 7. "To the degree that she glorified herself and lived sensuously, to the same degree give her torment and mourning, for she says in her heart, I sit as a queen, and I am not a widow. I will never see mourning." That's Isaiah 47, a prophecy against ancient Babylon. Isaiah 47, 7, "Yet you say, I will be a queen forever. These things you did not consider, nor remember the outcome of them." Or take Revelation 18, 19. "And they threw dust on their heads and were crying out, weeping and mourning, saying, Woe, woe to the great city, in which all who had ships at sea became rich by her wealth, for in 1 hour she has been laid waste." And that's similar to Ezekiel 27, the prophecy against Tyre. And we could go on and find descriptions of Revelation chapter 18, the description of the final judgment in many local situations back in the Old Testament. But the point is this: every disaster, every fall, points to the greater disaster at the end of this age. God doesn't save all judgments until the end of the world. He gives warnings and foreshadowings along the way to every generation. But the overall point of the description in Revelation chapter 18. The point seen many times throughout history is the suddenness of it all, that the fall was unexpected. Revelation 18:8, for this reason in one day her plagues will come. Revelation 18:10, for in one hour your judgment has come. Revelation 18:17, for in one hour such great wealth has been laid waste. And Revelation 18:19, woe, woe to the great city in which all who had ships at sea became rich by her wealth, for in one hour she has been laid waste. The people were going about their business, not realizing how quickly it would all be taken away. And was not this the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 24? For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they didn't understand until the flood came and took them all away. So will the coming of the Son of Man be. Sudden, unexpected. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2. When they say peace and safety, sudden destruction will come upon them. There are many lessons to be learned in this pandemic, but the big one is gone with the wind. Can all be gone in the moment? People in America were living sensuously. They thought they would never see torment and mourning. They thought they sat as a queen. But in one day, the plague came. Pestilence, mourning, and famine. And she will be burned up with fire, for the Lord God who judges her is strong. Now, whether the economy of New York City or any other city will come back is really not the point. The point is that Judgment Day is coming. 1 Peter 4:7, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. We need to forsake sin, self, and this world, and turn to God before it's too late. Will Carroll is a drummer for the band Death Angel, a real heavy metal thrasher band. He contracted COVID-19 and was in a coma for 12 days. And he said he had visions of hell. And after getting out of the hospital, he told reporters, "I don't think Satan's quite as cool as I used to think he was." Boy, I hope this pandemic and all of the crazy responses to it teaches us that lesson. One of my favorite quotes from C.S. Lewis comes from his book, The Screwtape Letters. And the senior demon says to the junior demon, "Try to protect him, the human subject, at all costs from any real pain. Because, of course, 5 minutes with a genuine toothache would reveal the romantic liberalism for the nonsense it is and unmask your whole stratagem." A great quote. Because pain, suffering, and loss often wakes us up and drives us back to God. I hope all of these events drive you closer to the Lord, and I hope you find salvation, eternal life, and the kingdom of God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The website to listen to this program again or other past programs is godandcountryradio.org. The YouTube channel for the extended video version of this program is God and Country Biblical Exposition. Just go to YouTube, type God and Country Biblical Exposition in the search bar. Thank you for including God and Country as part of your discipleship in the Word. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, the end of all things is at hand. Help us not to be caught up in the things of this world, but to live for your kingdom and for the King. In the name of King Jesus, we pray. Amen.